البيان راديو presents the following lesson from مسجد الأزهر بأمه.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Continuing our series in the common mistakes we find among many Muslims, and it's important that we address these since they are so widespread and many people may not know, haven't been told that they are un-Islamic or forbidden, and sometimes even more serious than that. And so when we educate ourselves and cause awareness, and we are able to point out those mistakes in ourselves and in those around us, so that inshallah we can try to improve ourselves and improve others, obviously with kindness and with compassion and with goodwill towards people, as we wish goodness for ourselves, we wish goodness for others. So of the common mistakes is in the field of aqidah, in the field of faith and beliefs. And we've spoken previously about major issues of belief that there are some misconceptions about. Today, inshallah, we'll begin the second part of misconceptions in faith or in understanding or practice of faith, but in the minor aspects of that. So the common mistakes in minor shirk, in minor aspects that conflict with the proper Islamic creed, that we call shirk or polytheism, because the Islamic belief is monotheism and the worship, the belief and worship in one God. And so what contradicts that is polytheism. And these are issues that essentially go against tawheed and the oneness of Allah, belief in the oneness of Allah and worship of the oneness of Allah, but they do not conflict with it in a major way. They are in the stem of conflicting with tawheed, but they are not major, they are not major aspects that negate a person's faith. But they are still very bad because they can lead to, and they are in the stem of major shirk. So of those, of the ways that, an example of that is swearing by other than Allah without the intent of glorifying the person or the thing as one would glorify Allah, then this is major shirk. So swearing by other than Allah. So as we know, if we want to, prove the truthfulness of what we say, then we say, Wallahi, I swear by Allah that I, return the keys, to the office, for example. Okay, so if someone swears by other than Allah, but he doesn't intend by the one that he's swearing by Allah that he's glorifying the one in whom he is swearing by in a way that he would glorify Allah. And this is common that we find people, for example, instead of saying Wallah, or as it's common among the Lebanese, they say Wahiyat Allah, which means I swear by the life of God. And there's no harm in that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his attributes is that he is al-hayy, the living. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. So life is an attribute of Allah, and Allah ta'ala has perfect life that was not preceded with non-existence and is not followed by non-existence. Allah ta'ala is the ever-living, al-hayyul qayyum subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people, for example, especially it's common among the Lebanese, they say wahiyat Allah. And then some of them, so this is, as we said, it's okay or not? It's okay. You can swear by Allah, you can swear by the attributes of Allah. But then you have others that swear by other than Allah, and they'll say, Wahiyat Muhammad, I swear by the life of Muhammad. Or they say, Wahiyat al-Ka'bah, I swear by the life of the Ka'bah. Or Wahiyat al-Mushaf, I swear by the Mushaf, which is the copy of the Qur'an. And then inshallah we'll speak about other things that people swear by. So a lot of the time, if you ask these people, why do you swear by Muhammad? Are you saying that Muhammad is equal to Allah? They say, no, I didn't mean that. So that's why we say that it's not major shirk. Because if someone swears by other than Allah, just as he would swear by Allah, like for example, you might find Christians, they swear, I swear by God, and sometimes they'll say, I swear by Jesus. And to them, when they swear by Jesus, because their honoring of Jesus is the same as the honoring of Allah. So that's why their swearing by Jesus is major shirk. And that conflicts with true faith. And that's why we said that action in itself proves that they're outside of the correct faith. So if a Muslim, he swears by Jesus, swears by Muhammad, you know, a lot of Muslims will find it very strange if they hear a Muslim swearing by Jesus, correct or not. But Jesus is a prophet, Muhammad is a prophet. We hear Muslims swearing by Muhammad, we don't find it so strange. Okay? Still, it is something incorrect. It is something incorrect. Just as if you were to hear someone, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, swearing by Jesus, you would immediately recognize the falsity in that. That it's not appropriate to swear rather than Allah. Then why do some people find it okay to swear by Muhammad? But why do we say that this is not major shirk? It's because generally we know that that the one who swears by Muhammad is not swearing by Muhammad in a way of honoring Muhammad as he honors Allah. To be honest, in my opinion, I find that you find, especially, that's why I picked on the Lebanese, you find that they imitate how the Christians make their oaths. So the Christians, they'll say Wallah, so we say Wallah. The Christians, they'll say Wahiyat al-Masih, so Muslims, they don't worship the Messiah Isa, so they'll say Wahiyat Muhammad. The Christians will say Wahiyat al-Salib, I swear by the cross, so Muslims will say Wahiyat al-Ka'bah. You know, so it's like they imitate, and this is common with Muslim populations who live amongst non-Muslims. And so you find in different communities, for example, Muslims in India who live among Hindus, you find sometimes they adopt some of their ways and their habits and their words. Muslims that live among Buddhists, you find sometimes they adopt some of their habits and their words. Like for example, here in Australia, you find a lot of Muslims who live in the West, live in Australia, for example, when something bad happens, they say, oh, geez. Even sometimes they'll say it full, and they say, oh, Jesus Christ. Why? Because they have picked it up from the society. Does that make it okay? Do we say you've become a kafir because you said, oh, geez, or bloody? Which even to practicing Christians, this is saying bloody is sacrilegious. Kufr to them. Because bloody comes from swearing by the blood of Christ. And they say that using swearing by God or swearing by an attribute of God to them, which is the blood of Christ to them, they say that this is using God's name in vain. So they consider this sacrilegious. Okay, so you have some Muslims who even, not knowing even the meaning in the background, but they use these words that are even, according to Christians, sacrilegious, or like haram, or bid'ah, or shirk to them, or kufr. Okay, so as Muslims, we have to be careful of what we say, and we have to understand the words that we say. We just don't pick up words from the society and we repeat them. We have to understand if they have religious connotations, if they conflict with our Islamic belief as well. And so as I said, that for example, I can speak from my experience from the Lebanese, that they imitate some of the habits and the words of the Christians and they Islamify them. And somehow if they Islamify them, it's okay. So they hear the Christians swearing by Jesus, they hear the Christians saying, Wahiyat al-Masih, I swear by the life of Christ, of the life of the Messiah. So they'll Islamify and they say, Wahiyat Muhammad. So it's somehow okay, it's not shirk anymore. Okay, it's still shirk. But do we say it's major shirk? Generally for the Muslim, no. Because generally the Muslim, when he swears by Muhammad, even though it's wrong and it goes against the meaning of Tawheed, the Muslim doesn't honor Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he honors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's still because it's something in the, as we said, in the stem of shirk. It's in that same way, but it's not to that degree. So it's still shirk and it's still something very major, and a Muslim must understand the gravity of it and must avoid it. Okay? So swearing by anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially if it's something honored in the religion, okay, but if it's something that is not Allah or none of the attributes of Allah, then a Muslim isn't allowed to swear by them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man halafa bighayri Allahi faqad kafara aw ashrak." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Whoever swears an oath by other than Allah has committed disbelief or polytheism." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana halifan falyahlif billah aw liyasmut." Whoever wants to swear, then let him swear by Allah or be quiet. Because to swear by something other than Allah will lead you to problems. If not major shirk, then minor shirk, which is bad enough. But if a person does glorify the creation as only Allah can be glorified, like those who swear oaths in the name of graves or righteous people with the intent of glorifying them, then this is major shirk. I think last time I shared a story of making oaths by other than Allah. And this was told to me by one of my friends. He's from Libya. And yani, it's a very nice sort of real life example of how swearing by other than Allah can be major shirk. And he told me in Libya, the common folk of the people, they honor a so-called wali, because no one knows who's a true wali except Allah, whether he was truly righteous or not, Allahu alam. But they call him Sidi Abdus Salam. And later on, when I was mentioning this story in front of some Libyan brothers, they said that Sidi Abdus Salam is actually in Morocco, but the Libyan people still honor him. But anyway, so whether he's in Morocco or whether he's in Libya, the Libyan people, they honor this wali. And he said, in the marketplace, if you want to know whether a person is telling the truth, you know, in buying and selling, people, they often say, "Wallah, you know, if they, you know, I bought this phone, you know, how much is this phone? The phone is $500. Oh, $500 too much. I bought it for $400. I have to, you know, sell it for $500 to make some profit. He said, "Look, I'll do you a favor. We'll go halfway. I'll sell it for $450, okay? And he said, "Wallah, you bought it for $400? He said, "Wallah, I bought it for $400. But maybe he bought it actually for $200 and he wants to make a bigger profit. So if you want to see whether he's lying or not, say, "I swear by Sidi Abdus Salam, you bought it for $400. He'll say, "No, no, I don't swear by Sidi Abdus Salam." That way you know he's lying. Because he's willing to say, "Wallahi, lying," but he's not willing to say, "I swear by Sidi Abdus Salam, lying," because he fears Sidi Abdus Salam more than he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, he'll never say that. But that's in reality from the practice. So this person swearing by Sidi Abdus Salam, this is major shirk, because he has sworn by Sidi Abdus Salam out of glorifying Sidi Abdus Salam in a way that you should only glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that example make it clear of what or what swearing is major shirk and what swearing is minor shirk? So he said, if someone swears an oath by other than Allah without giving it any thought, then this shirk, then this is the shirk of speech. So it's, you know, a lot of people, they say something and they don't realize that what they're saying is shirk. So it's unintentional. Okay, but it doesn't make it okay. So this is shirk of speech, and this is included in the types of minor shirk. And the atonement for this statement is to say, nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So if a person, he realizes that what he said was a form of shirk, then he should say, "La ilaha illallah." And then have a strong resolve never to return to swearing oaths by other than Allah. But if a person swears an oath, which is a major shirk oath, then they have to renew their tawheed. They have to renew their tawheed. The second issue, and this is similar to the first issue, but it's swearing oaths in the name of honesty or trust or honor is minor shirk as well. So some, for example, this is common among the Arabs, they say wahyat sharafi, or they say wahyat amanti, or they say wahyat, you know, they'll swear by their honor or their honesty or their trust, or they swear by, for example, their children, or they swear by their blessing, wahyat uladi, wahyat al-ni'ma, these type of things. This is also minor shirk, because it's based on the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, "Man halafa bil amana falaysa minna." Whoever swears by honesty, then is not one of us. And swearing by any of these affairs is included in the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, "Man halafa bi ghayri Allahi faqad kafara aw ashrak." Whoever swears by other than Allah has disbelieved or has committed polytheism. Swearing occurs when the person utilizes one of three Arabic letters. So in the Arabic language, you can make an oath by saying wa. So we say wallahi, that waw in the beginning is the what's called waw al-qasam, the waw of oaths, or the waw of swearing. So when you say wallahi, it means you have sworn by Allah. If you say wa Muhammad, you sworn by Muhammad. Wa hayati, I swear by my life. So when you use that word in that way, when you use that waw, then you're swearing by whatever comes after it. You swear by Allah, you swear by your children, you swear by... And only that waw can be used by a true Muslim for swearing by Allah, not by anything else. But there are other, not only the waw, it can be as well the ba and the ta. So you can say wallahi and billahi and tallahi. Wallahi and billahi and tallahi. If anyone makes these oaths in Allah, then it's okay. And he must tell the truth. Because to lie using Allah's name, then this is called yaminul ghamus. The oath, the false oath that necessitates for that person to be dipped in the hellfire. And that's why many of the righteous, many of the Salaf al-Salih, including some of the Sahaba, would never make an oath, would never swear. Not because they're lying, but because their fear of being mistaken. So it was narrated that Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, when he was called to witness, and they said, okay, in the witness, you must swear by Allah. He said, I won't swear by Allah. If the person's making a claim, I know that he's not entitled to it, but let him take it. Because if that's the only way that it's going to prove my honesty, that I don't want to do it, because I don't want to even risk mistakenly saying untruth in the name of Allah. That's how much fear they had of saying wallahi. And that's why a person has to be very careful in swearing in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And not take it lightly. Okay, so if a person says wallahi, then that's considered a swear. If he says billahi, it's also a swear. If he says tallahi, it's considered a swear. And likewise, if he uses it in other than Allah, then it's still considered a swear. So if someone says ta Muhammad or bi Muhammad, and you say you're swearing by other, no, he said, but I didn't say why Muhammad. No, because any of these letters is considered in the Arabic language a swearing or an oath. The third issue that is of major shirk, that is common, unfortunately, among many Muslims, is taking graveyards as places of worship. Because this is an innovation, it is evil, it is impermissible, and it is a means that leads to worshipping those in the graves. There's someone, for example, who wants to make dua. You can make dua anywhere, correct? But sometimes, you know, there's a dua that you really want to make. So, for example, you come to a masjid, you'll come and pray in the masjid, you feel more closer to Allah, and you make dua in the masjid, correct or not? Okay, how about if someone, he goes to the grave, and especially a specific grave, maybe the grave of a righteous person, and he makes dua to Allah. This is an innovation, and this is forbidden, and this is a form of minor shirk. Because why? Because then that person may get a thought that his dua is being accepted because of his nearness to that righteous person in the grave. Maybe it's dua, maybe it's salah, maybe it's reading Quran, maybe it's any worship, that a person is not allowed to do that specifically at the graveyard, to go to the grave specifically to do these worships. And unfortunately, why do we say it? Because maybe we don't see it so much here in Australia, but in other countries, some graves, you see them, that they are like, that people don't worship except at graves. Some ignorant Muslims, they'll do all their worships at a grave, believing that the person in the grave, will somehow assist in their worships being more virtuous or their prayers being more readily accepted. This is based on the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لعن الله اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. Allah has cursed the Jews and the Christians as they took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. So they took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. They would go worship Allah at the places of the graves of their prophets. And just by, so even though we're not even talking about them worshipping the graves or those who were in the graves and calling upon them, because that's major shirk. We're saying just worshipping Allah, but doing that specifically at graves, and especially the graves of righteous, because this is something that leads to major shirk. And that is the definition of minor shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَتَّخِذُونَ قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ وَصَالِحِيهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ أَلَا فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدٍ إِنِّي أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, those who come before you, or those who came before you, used to take the graves of their prophets and righteous men as places of worship. Do not take the graves as places of worship. I forbid you from doing that. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So some people, either they are unaware, or they completely ignore what the Prophet ﷺ did, and they want to follow their traditions and their habits and the, what the their forefathers and their families have done, and they say this is our culture and these are our customs and this is what so and so did and so on, and they ignore the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is a terrible mistake. So every place where people intend to pray becomes a masjid, becomes a place of worship. So even if it's a grave, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't take the graves as masajid. But masajid doesn't mean literally a mosque. It's a place that you designate for worship, becomes a masjid. So the next point, inshallah, and this will be the last point, is praying in the graveyards and supplicating at the graves is an innovation, a means to shirk. So similar to the previous point, this is if the person prays to Allah alone. So the person's praying to Allah, but he's praying at the graveyard. Because if he's praying, imagine he's praying dhuhr at the graveyard and he's standing and bowing and standing and prostrating. What would someone who sees him from far think? Huh? That maybe he's bowing, prostrating to the grave. And mashallah, I see Sheikh Jalal doing that. Sheikh Jalal, he knows, mashallah, he must, I'm going to go pray at that grave. Mashallah, maybe that grave, I remember that grave. That person must be a very righteous person. So if I pray there, then something magical will happen. Allahu Akbar. You see? So this is why prayer in the graveyards is forbidden. Even though I'm praying dhuhr, praying for Allah, but I happen to be in the graveyard, this is why it's been forbidden. So that no one will get any impression that you can pray to graves. And so that me, myself, don't get misguided by the shaitan in thinking, you know what, I prayed this dhuhr prayer, I've never prayed with so much khushu' in my life. Maybe this is a sign that this is something good to do, and I start to do that. Maybe it's that person in the grave who's made my prayer so righteous, and that person in that grave, mashallah, must be a very righteous person and so on. So to stop, this is what major shirk is. It's the things that may be done innocently, in and of itself may not be wrong, but it's linked to something that may lead to something dangerous. So that's why the Sharia has come to forbid anything that leads to major shirk. Anything that leads to major shirk, and it's in the same path as shirk, then this is minor shirk, and it's something that is forbidden, and forbidden severely. So if a person is praying to Allah alone, but if the person prays to the individual inside the grave in addition to praying to Allah, then this is absolute, incontestable shirk. So if the person's praying, he says, I'm praying to Allah, but I'm also praying to that person in the grave. Or I'm praying to Allah, but through the person I'm asking Allah to grant me my prayers in the name of Sidi al-Badawi, Sidi Abdus Salam, the Al-Hussein, whoever is the person in that grave, then this is major shirk. And this was the shirk of the people of Mecca and the mushrikeen who the Qur'an came to rebuttal. This is the prohibition of the Prophet ﷺ against praying in the graveyard. He said, لا تصلوا إلى القبور. Do not pray facing the graves. Do not pray facing the graves. Unfortunately, in a lot of Muslim countries, they purposely build graves in the direction of the Qibla, so that if you're praying in the masjid, you're facing the grave. And this is something that I noticed in a lot of the major masajid in Istanbul. When I visited Istanbul, like the big masjids there, Sulaymaniyah, Sultan Ahmed, Masjid al-Fatih, all of these, for example, the largest masjid, Sulaymaniyah, it's built by what they call him, Sulayman al-Qanuni in Arabic, or Sulayman the Magnificent, they say in English. Okay, his grave is directly in front of the position of the imam outside of the masjid. So it's not like directly you're praying in front of him, but and it's outside the masjid, but it was like of all the places you could have buried Sultan Sulayman, you decide to bury him. It's like there, you know, treading on very, very shady areas. So some people I saw, they wouldn't pray in these masjids that have graves either in the masjid or graves in front of the masjid, because it's a very grey area. Okay? But if there's a wall and so on, but because it's done intently, like if it was, you know, by coincidence, then maybe you can say, okay, but this is done intently, that you're building the masjid and you're making a burial place and you're burying the person directly in front of the masjid in the direction of the Qibla, so that people are praying. I don't know what they think they're getting out of it, but subhanAllah, this is common. This is something I noticed in Istanbul, in Turkey, but in many countries as well, especially in the older masjids that maybe were influenced by this sort of thinking. I noticed that in Lebanon as well, there are many graves that are built around the masjid. And possibly, I didn't notice specifically in the direction of the Qibla, but in a lot of the old masjids, there were graves around the masjid, but I can't remember whether they were in the direction of the Qibla. So the one who's praying in the masjid, yani the graves are in front of them, but outside of the building. So that's why we don't say, Allahu A'lam, you can't say definitely it's haram, but it's treading a very, yani a very fine line and very grey area. But anyway, so that it can be crystal clear, this is not something appropriate to do. And definitely praying towards the grave. That's why the janazah prayer, even when we pray the janazah prayer has no ruku' or sujood. Correct or not? So just say, for example, we're praying and just say this table is the deceased, then there's no ruku' or sujood, to not give any impression to those who are praying or to anyone watching them that there is any worship towards that deceased person. All worship, all ruku' and all sujood is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he saw some people praying towards the grave and they were unaware of it. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to them, a grave. He warned them that maybe they were unaware. So even if they were unaware, Umar radiallahu anhu, he warned them. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, لَا تَتَّخِذُ الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدْ. Do not take the graves as a place of worship. In the masajid, Allah is called upon with the most eloquent and profound supplications. Thus it is known that dua is prohibited in the graveyard except if the dua is supplicated on behalf of the deceased person in the grave, asking Allah to have mercy upon them, to forgive them, and to make them firm. This has come in the sunnah. Those in the graves are in need of people praying for them. Okay? Those who are in the graves, they need those who are alive to pray for them. We don't need, the people who are alive don't need the people in the graves to pray for us. They need us to pray for them. And so when we visit the graves, we make dua for those who are in the grave. And it's not appropriate for a Muslim to ask other than Allah for things. And dua should only be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And that the places of worship are for Allah, so do not call anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or anyone alongside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Call only Allah, worship only Allah, pray only to Allah. You know, these issues are crystal clear, and this is, you know, this is the basic of what Islam is about. But unfortunately, this shows that how ignorant or how misguided some Muslims are, who profess Islam and say La ilaha illallah, and if you ask them what is Islam about, they say to worship Allah alone. But then they, in their practice, because these issues have been mixed up with them through traditions and through as well misguided preachers, misguided teachers who try to mix up shirk with Islamic practices. So we have to educate ourselves and be aware and make these issues crystal clear, and inshallah we can be a means to help rectify those Muslims who are unaware and ignorant, or that they are misguided. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast and to make us a cause of guidance for others. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.